Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and this is study number 39 in the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis 41, verse 37, and Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 41, 37, picking up right where we left off. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Verse 38 says, And Pharaoh said to his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Pharaoh sees that Joseph's close walk with God is the reason that he has so much wisdom. And that has been the storyline on Joseph his entire life. 40, You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. The President of the United States can issue executive orders, which means that with his signature, he can make sweeping changes. And that is the kind of authority the king just gave Joseph. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And the signet ring was sort of like a rubber stamp with the king's signature on it. Joseph can now issue any decree, sign the king's name, and it is official. 42, last part of it. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. The gold necklace was a symbol of authority back in those days. And so Joseph has been given the power of attorney. He can act in the place of the king. 43. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, Bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. And the president's plane is Air Force One. The vice president's plane is Air Force Two. Joseph rode in the chariot version of Air Force Two. 44. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So by order of the king, nothing of any importance relating to anything, political or economic, can be done by anyone in Egypt unless it is okayed by Joseph. 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah-Paneah. And he gave him as wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph's new name means the one who reveals secrets. Joseph never claimed to be able to predict the future, but God used him to do that, and he gave all the credit to God. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 17 when his brothers sold him. Now after 13 years of slavery, he is in second in command of Egypt. 13 years of mistreatment and most likely thinking, I didn't think God called me to do this, did not break Joseph's spirit. He served God through it all, and now he is blessed. 47. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph is giving the orders, and one of the things he ordered was for the storage facilities to be built in every area of Egypt. Now, when the 7-year famine hits, It will be easy to distribute grain to everyone who needs it. Notice how Joseph is using his authority to serve the best interest of the people. The only authority God has given anyone is the authority to serve others. Verse 49. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. At first, Joseph kept an inventory of all the grain he stored, but after a while he thought, forget it, we have more than what we can count. 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Joseph was so occupied with his new position that he did not have time or really interest or even the ability to dwell on the unfair treatment he endured from his brothers and as a slave. Verse 52. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It had been a 13-year nightmare of bad, but through it all, God made Joseph fruitful. Verse 53. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. No crops were growing anywhere. Syria, Arabia, Palestine, Canaan, and Egypt were all dead as far as new crops are concerned. However, Egypt had food because they had Joseph, who had the word of God, and they followed the word of God. 55. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. And this is where Joseph's walk with God really started to pay off for the people. They are on the verge of starving, but as long as they follow Joseph's orders, they will be okay. 56. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. You say, well, why didn't the government just give them free food? Well, maybe to eliminate waste. You know, because if people have to pay for something themselves, they're usually more careful not to waste it. 57. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. People came from great distances to get food in Egypt. Verse 1 of chapter 42. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? Why are you just looking at each other? In other words, do what you need to do, or it won't get done. That's a fact. We need to do our part and not expect anyone else to do it for us. Verse 2, and he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die. Their backs are to the wall. If they don't get food soon, they will die. God wants them down in Egypt, and he will use this lousy situation to get them there. God sometimes uses lousy situations to get us to do things that we would never consider doing otherwise. 3. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. God is sovereign, and he is using this. However, these sons of Jacob would not be going to Egypt if they had not sold Joseph. Joseph would have been with them. He would have warned them about the 7-year famine, and they would have prepared for it. Verse 4. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. Jacob doesn't have any hard evidence against his 10 oldest sons, but he has a gut feeling that they know more than what they are telling about the death of Joseph, and Jacob will not risk the life of Benjamin by letting him go with them. 5. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So the brothers joined others from Canaan and traveled along with them to buy food down in Egypt. 6. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Look back at chapter 37, verse 7 and 8 for a second, if you would. I'm going to turn there. Usually don't do this. But chapter 37, it's very important for you to see this. Genesis 37, 7 and 8. Joseph is relating dreams that he had. He says, "There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. They thought, "Joseph, we will never bow to you." They sold him in part to keep that revelation from God from happening. And I suppose they thought, it won't happen now. The word of God does not apply to us now. But you know what? God's word does not make exception for anyone. Here they are, bowing down before Joseph, just as God said they would. Verse 7. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Say, Joseph is getting revenge by speaking rough to his brothers. No. If Joseph wanted revenge, he could have had them executed on the spot. 8. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. It has been at least 20 years. Joseph was 17 when they sold him. He's in his mid-30s now. Plus, he was all decked out like an Egyptian, I suppose, with plastic-looking hair and heavy makeup. No wonder they didn't recognize him. Verse 9, then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them, and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." Oh, what a thrill for Joseph to see his dream from God come to pass. His brothers are bowing just as God said they would. Joseph had gone through one bad and one unfair thing after another, but in the end, it was the way God said it would be. 10. And they said to him, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food." They called Joseph Lord. And I wonder if he was tempted to reveal himself and say, "Hey, God told you that you'd bow before me. You said you'd never do it. You were wrong. God was right." But he held his peace for now. Verse 11, "We are all one man's son. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." When they said they were honest men, Joseph knew that they were either lying or they had changed their ways, because they had not been honest in the past. 12. But he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." Joseph is trying to get information out of these brothers. He knows that they will defend themselves by talking about their father and their younger brother. At least he hopes they will. 13. And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." And Joseph no doubt hopes these brothers of his are telling the truth about his father and his brother Benjamin being alive. You know, I think Joseph may have been concerned that they killed his father and Benjamin. After what they did to him, that's really not an unreasonable thing to think. And we'll pick up our study right here in verse 14 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.